Good evening. This is Debbie Saracen. I'm manager of practice enhancement and quality reporting at ACOFP. And we have two special guests this evening. We have Dr. Christopher Scuderi from the University of Florida, and we have Dr. Haddad, who Dr. Scuderi will introduce. So this podcast is brought to you from the APM Committee of ACOFP, and so I'll turn it over to Dr. Christopher Scuderi.
Thanks, Debbie. I'm honored tonight to have a colleague of mine and a great force for value-based care in our community, Dr. Judella Haddad. Dr. Haddad is the medical director for UF Health Community Health Center and is the chair of the value-based funding team here in Jacksonville, and she has made just incredible strides in our department in helping us to close care gaps and to really improve care for so many of our patients. And she's very, very passionate about this topic, so I'm really excited to have her. And so I'd like to welcome Dr. Haddad and thank you for speaking with us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Scuderi and Debbie, for inviting me to participate in this very nice topic, like you say, that I'm very passionate about.
So tonight we're going to be talking about ACC coding, which is hierarchical condition coding. And so as a start, Dr. Haddad, what is risk adjustment?
So risk adjustment is a factor that CMS uses to pay the plans for the risk of the beneficiary that they enroll. And when we say risk, we mean how sick a patient really is, so they can predict the cost it will take to take care of that patient for that plan.
So how is this risk calculated? How do they choose, what risk is higher, what risk is lower?
So for the to calculate it, we use a calculator factor or the risk adjustment calculator factor, and it's assigned based on the patient's disease score and demographic score. So the demographic score we cannot have control over. That is because it includes that patient's age, the community or institution they're based in, if they have Medicaid disability, or their gender and age and gender. So that we don't have control on. But the demographic plus the disease score is what we call, we will have the risk adjustment factor calculated. Now, the disease score is based on disease reported by the provider for 1 year, and it's using ICD-10 codes. So that's why it's very important for providers to understand how to use the ICD-10, because this ICD-10 will then be assigned a hierarchical condition category. And because of the difficulty of pronunciation, I will be saying HCC.
Thank you. So is this risk adjustment factor for only one disease or condition, or is this for multiple diseases? How is this calculated?
Well, before we go into the calculation, we have to understand that hierarchical means it's the related conditions that are placed in a hierarchy of most to least severe. So we have to understand that, like I mentioned before, we want to show how sick the patient really is so they have the high hierarchy code. So now to answer your question, is it one disease or not? No. The risk is assessed by the accumulation of all the submitted diagnosis code. You can have unrelated diseases. For example, you can have a diabetes that also has a hip fracture and heart disease. So that will be unrelated conditions, and each one of these will have an HCC score, and you accumulate them. Or you can have an HCC model that incorporates some interactive terms and conditions where costs are more additive. For example, the diabetic patients with CHF, it is expected that this will be a higher cost than a calculated diabetes plus a congestive heart failure. So if a provider is used to just separating all the conditions, yes, you will have your codes, but it's not showing that the patient is as sick as we say a diabetic with congestive heart failure, because that's going to cost the system more.
So what recommendations would you have then for physicians as they're coding? A lot of times, we get so used to coding diabetes without complications. What would you recommend for physicians out there that they should think about when they're coding for their patients?
when you're coding for the patients, make sure that you include all the diseases that are associated with it. If you put, for example, a diabetic that is uncomplicated, it's showing CMS and your insurance and managed care, your Medicare Advantage plans, that you have a very healthy population. So by having a healthy population, they are not predicting that you will be costing the system a lot of money, so your reimbursement is not going to be as high. So it will impact you as well because you're not doing a hierarchy code. So one thing that is important to understand is be not to lie, first of all, because you're taking care of these patients, but also to document how sick your patients really are to benefit the reimbursement for you, and then start also paying attention to the complications, the associated symptoms. If they have a renal disease, or if they have, for example, you do a microalbuminuria, that is telling us the patient also has a nephropathy. Well, if you say uncomplicated, it's not going to be at the high hierarchy code as if you say diabetic with nephropathy. If they have an amputation, that's a condition that's going to be long-lasting on that patient. So make sure you include that in your diagnosis as well.
Thank you. And how often should they put those codes? Do they have to put it every visit, or is it something that they need to put at a certain time frame?
Well, one recommendation is to document the diagnosis that you address during your visit. That is very important. We don't want to get into trouble of putting all 20 diagnoses, and in your note, you don't have any documentation to support that you have all those diagnoses that you included. So one thing that you may want to do is remember, CMS does not have a memory. So all the HCC codes must be revalidated at least annually. And the clock starts ticking in January. So if you saw a patient in December and the patient, for example, has a right leg amputation, it is obvious every visit you should mention it, but if you don't, the diagnosis should be at least once a year in the chart, but from that December, it's not going to count for the next year. So starting in January, you have to make sure that you add all the chronic conditions in the in your notes, in your physical exam, and in your diagnosis. So just a good reminder, you know, when they come back in the beginning of the year, make sure to address if you have like an annual visit that you update all your problem lists. Make sure that you mention it too. And again, if you see the patient, you're addressing the diagnosis, document it.
So thank you. So when do these payments take effect?
So these payments will take effect the next year. So the diagnosis that you use for this year is the base year. It's used to predict the payment for the following year. So the risk adjustment factor predicts the risk for those patients for the next year. And important to know is, too, that all diagnoses are not counted equally. So CMS includes only the diagnosis that will best help forecast the spending. For example, there are some diagnoses that are given no weight at all, and one of those are hypertension. Also, you have hyperlipidemia or your hypothyroidism. These are diagnoses that are usually chronic, but they're not predicting that they're going to cost the system a lot of money. Now, if you have a hypertensive patient that also has renal vascular disease, then that is going to be a higher weight for the HCC than it is a hypertension by itself.
So what I hear you stressing is that it's important to code to the highest specificity that, you know, so often we're in a rush, you know, as physicians, and we use very similar codes. We all have similar patterns, or we use essential hypertension or, you know, diabetes without complication. And so what you would encourage physicians out there is that they need to really be aware of coding to higher specificity?
Yes, exactly. The higher specificity, and that's why when you compare ICD-10 to ICD-9, the ICD-10 is more specific. I know we didn't like it when we went to ICD-10, but it is more specific. You can include more associated diseases and symptoms with the ICD-10. So you have to try to do the highest condition so you can have a higher score. That's what we were talking earlier about the hierarchical conditions, this hierarchy. So you want to do the most to the least. So group up your conditions that are higher weighted than just a simple essential hypertension or hypothyroidism or just hyperlipidemia. That hyperlipidemia in a diabetic patient may also mean coronary artery disease. So think about what is the risk that that hypertension and hyperlipidemia diagnosis really mean. They will have microvascular disease. So think about that. So even if you're in a rush, it's still you need to make sure that you understand what weight you're going to put on that diagnosis.
Thank you. So should I document all the diagnoses for my patient every time I see them in the office?
Not necessarily. You only use the ICD code diagnosis for the symptoms and diagnoses that you addressed during that current visit. Also, you know, you can address the radiological and laboratory findings so that can support your diagnosis, but do not use the diagnosis you did not address during the visit. Very important to be very specific about your diagnosis. If you have somebody with a BMI of 40, just don't say overweight. It's more specific to say morbid obesity, and actually morbid obesity has a higher weight than if you just put overweight. One of the things that can get you into trouble, like I mentioned earlier, if you put 20 diagnoses, you want to put it all. You want to show, yeah, this patient is really, really sick, but you have a benign exam, you don't mention anything about the conditions that you're putting the diagnosis in, that then will raise flags, and you don't want to do that because that is doing fraud, and none of us want to do fraud. We want to make sure that we document appropriately, making sure that patients are being captured for their illnesses, and also, you know, that is improving quality because now you have things to address that are complicating the patient's health.
So when you say that you should assess, you know, the condition of each visit, because so many of us see so many chronic patients that have, you know, diabetes and hypertension and hyperlipidemia, and, you know, there's usually a common plan that we use. How can we assess it in the plan in an efficient way that, you know, shows that we, you know, looked at this patient and we addressed it and, you know, documented ethically and accurately?
Yeah, so you can have some chronic conditions that the patient has been coming on regular every 3 months for those chronic conditions. If they are stable, you can still mention the condition is stable. So you're saying that the patient can be on dialysis, they can have congestive heart failure, they can have atrial fibrillation, which that is another one that I would like to go deep into details too. So you can say chronic atrial fibrillation and not a cardiac dysrhythmia because the dysrhythmia doesn't have any weight, but the chronic atrial fibrillation does. So you can mention that you're seeing the patient for their chronic conditions. You can mention that, yes, they have the atrial fib that is stable, patients on dialysis doing well, congestive heart failure well controlled with current medications. So you don't have to do a very big detail on all the conditions. You just need to address them, making sure that it's supported in your note with the diagnosis that you are using for that visit.
So what are some codes that, you know, physicians out there should be aware of that they should, you know, annually, you know, try to make sure that they document? You know, I know that there's some bigger codes, and you mentioned a few as we've gone through, but what are some that you would stress to our listeners out there that they should listen to, you know, that they should document?
Very, very important is all your amputations. That is a very high HCC code. Your diabetes with the nephropathy or with the cardiomyopathy, that's also important. Your atrial fibrillation, those are ACC codes that will carry a lot of weight, and you want to make sure to include those. Coronary artery disease, that's also an ACC code. So there are several of these chronic conditions that, if mentioned, properly, your dialysis patients, that is also a very high weighted ACC code. And, you know, there are very good resources that you can find, a whole list of the ACC codes. For example, the AFB has the Family Practice Management Magazine journal that is really good. Even on the CMS.gov, you can also have some, there's a great resource that you can get these codes. And, you know, you can have them by your desk so you can reference to them as needed. But just think of chronic conditions and be very specific on when you do your documentation.
Okay. So, you know, there's so many physicians out there, you know, burnout is an issue in family medicine, and, you know, approximately, you know, this 48 to 50% of family physicians are suffering from burnout, and we all feel like, you know, just everyone's asking us to do another thing. Why, to the physicians that are out there, is HCC coding important? Why should they pay attention to this? Why isn't this just one more thing for their Medicare Advantage plans?
I think it's important because it may impact your revenues, your costs. And as we're saying, this is used by CMS. But now, not only CMS, but you have a lot of your commercial plans that are also starting to use these risk adjustments and ACC codes for your payments, because it's predicting how sick your patients really are. So you become familiar, but it's going to help you with reimbursement, not only with your ACA plans, but also with just your commercial insurance. If you're getting per member per month, it's going to predict, well, is this patient going to be costing them a lot of money, and your reimbursement will be affected. They have bonuses that some of the commercial plans are also paying you for doing the correct documentation.
Thank you. So, you know, in closing, I think this has been an excellent review so far. If there's anything that you had to stress to physicians out there that just, you know, that they need to know about this or they need to do differently, what would that be?
Make sure to use the diagnosis with their comorbidities. Again, try to forget the without complications. Try to prevent using unspecified. Try to avoid using history of. For example, a patient could have had a stroke. If you put history of stroke, it's telling the CMS and the insurance company that it doesn't exist anymore. But most of us know that with a stroke, you can either have a hemiplegia, you can have a aphasia, you can have a paralysis. So instead of saying history of, go ahead and say stroke with aphasia as a sequela, because that is also one of the diagnoses, or you can put post-stroke syndrome, or the hemiparesis secondary to the stroke. So, again, try to be specific, and once you put it in your chart, most of us are now electronic, it will stay in your problem list, so you can just click on the problem list instead of putting a new diagnosis every time you see the patient. As you were mentioning, too, the other higher coding that we have to think of is your cancers, your breast cancer, your prostate cancer. So you can mention them still. The patient can have breast cancer. It's in remission. You can put that in remission, but you're still adding that to show that the patient is really sick. All your myelodysplastic syndromes, your aplastic anemias, we tend to forget anemia in our diagnosis. It's very important to continue with that. Your COPD patients, just remember that if they have an acute exacerbation or not, or is it just a chronic condition, include it. Your inflammatory bowel diseases, that's very important. Chronic hepatitis B, they can be already in remission, viral load of zero. Mention it in your note, hepatitis C in remission. It's very important for them to see that even though the patient may be stable right now, if he's still not healthy, he still has chronic condition that will predict his future, how to deal with the patient, how to continue to keep them out of the hospital, but it's a patient that potentially has very high risk for also getting complications. So keep thinking of associated symptoms and the highest hierarchy of codes so you can get your reimbursement, because at the end of the day, it will affect your pocket and your practice.
Excellent. Well, thank you. There's some great advice. So, well, I appreciate it. I think this, you know, has been a great review of ACC coding. I know it's something that a lot of physicians struggle with and is very important to our practices and very important to our revenue and to making sure that our patients are identified for how sick they are. And I think you did an excellent job, you know, reviewing it. So I just want to tell you thank you, for taping this podcast with us this evening.
Thank you very much for allowing me to share, and hopefully it will make a difference, and I didn't say too much
Thank you both, and I appreciate your time in providing quality education for ACOFP members.